before you now is the opening of this. Final day of this session, of this annual meeting. I trust that I'm not intruding your mind from here. Good spirit that's been manifested here from the beginning of this meeting. I told one of the brothers, I said, when the Lord dies, it seems like everything starts right. It winds up that way, but when the Lord's not there, everything will be seems like wrong, awkward. If I know anything about the presence of my Lord, I feel that I said his presence since I've been doing this meeting, since we arrived on the ground yesterday. I understand there's four speakers this morning. I'll not be before you for just a short time. I think preachers should always be considered in conversation with one another. We can manifest humility as much in that way, if not more, than I think about any way we can stand before others. Although we have a great privilege this morning for these preachers to speak already, we should be grumbling about it. I read a piece in the paper where in Russia they were grumbling because they hadn't been able to stamp out faith by some means. They had shown several atheist pictures in the little cities that permitted a limited religion to be manifest. They said it seemed like the more we do in destroying churches, the men that stand and speak in the name of this so-called Jesus, but after all of this, faith still lives on, and we can't understand. I'm glad I can stand in the name of one this morning that told Peter that the gates of hell shall not prevail against the church. I should feel it. The field. And as we bow off from here, stated of preachers, I'll get out of the way just in a moment. Preachers can't turn on preaching like you turn on a television and turn it off. But if God would give me grace just to get in the way just a few minutes this morning, there's the things that I desire most. I want to read just a few verses of scripture that I think would be appropriate for the occasion, and if I can't speak any from it, I feel that if we just observe and analyze the words, that it would mean much to us of Jesus' lesson. It was his words to his disciples that he called to preach the gospel. And before he left this world, he sat down and had lectures with them and taught them what they're going to come in contact with. Many things that if they witness or experience, he told them what it would be. But you know what it is. After he called them and sent them out to preach the gospel, gave them the commission and gave them the characteristics of the church or the fifth sentence in the church. I believe Elder Darden used that in his preaching yesterday, and the characteristics of the church I see this morning that the Savior gave his disciples. He enumerated that in his great sermon on the mount when he said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. And blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." But in the last chapter of the 13th, the last verses of the 13th chapter of Matthew, we find the Savior told those preachers this: "Watch therefore, for you know not when the master of the house cometh at evening, or at midnight, or at the clock going right in the morning. Least coming suddenly, he finds you asleep. And what I say unto you all. Now, I don't think you should be any of what I say unto you all. And he closed it by saying what? With a capital letter, what? I feel that it's just as needful for God's children to watch as it is to pray. For he said, watch, lest you enter into temptation. And I know if it wasn't essential for us to watch this morning for the snares that the devil will lay for us, he wouldn't have closed that chapter after he gave the preachers all the other lectures. Then it said, what I say unto you all, I say unto all what? I feel this moment, as we assemble in this annual meeting, God has given us the evidence, as ministers in the respect that we have tried to show for one another to love, the example we've tried to set before you. God's children come together, knowing only Jesus, the author and finisher of their faith. That children, let's watch this morning as well as pray, that a year from today, these great coming together will still be in our midst, and we'll be able to enjoy the sweet fellowship of one another. And I feel that the Lord, in teaching them this, he told them, he said, in one place they'll deliver you up as a devil. They'll put you in jail. You're going to be hated of all nations. Various things he taught them that you're going to have to meet. Well, you know, someone might say, well, that's peculiar. That you start a man out on in a world and begin to give him all of those disheartening points for him to endure. That's why the world this morning has never been able to understand. Why that men will leave their occupation, knowing without having any thought of financial gain in the world, that they might go out and preach the gospel to God from before. Why men will do it is a mystery to the world. But these things, children, have been hidden from the world to this extent that when Jesus was at Jerusalem. And they brought the infants to him, and the disciples told him to take them away. And when he said, suffer little children to come unto me, for all such is the kingdom of heaven. And then before he closed that chapter, he said, I thank thee, O Heavenly Father. I thank thee that thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and reveal them unto them. And then he told us why that he said that, even so that it seemeth good in thy sight. Now that's why God did it. And if you have eyes this morning to see, to fellowship, enjoy it, as we are seated here today, children, watch that Satan not destroyed by his cunning craftiness. As long as Satan and the wiles of the world comes against the church from the outside, she only tends to drive her closer together. But the very minute that he gets on the inside, and a lot of the time get him in the pulpit, it ain't long till she's destroyed. And that's why that he said what? And I believe that when he taught those disciples that even they'll deliver you up to prison. That in the 11th chapter of John and the 2nd verse, we're going to find where one of them went to jail in a short time after the Lord gave them this admission. Why, when John, you remember, said, heard of the great work of Christ while he was in prison. Why, he said then, he sent his disciples unto Jesus asking, art thou the Christ? Or should we look for another? I feel this morning, children, that this old preacher, even after he's baptized the Son of God, after he's seen him do the great great miracles and works that he's done, after he's seen his spirit in the form of a dove descend from heaven, and a great voice speaks and says, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." In the ordinances that Jesus was setting up here in the world, being baptized, led example that we might follow, him here in the world. I'm sure that the work that Jesus did there, I was not to make him the Son of God, but he is the Son of God when he was born. He was the Son of God when he hung on the cross. He is the Son of God when he is baptized. And he is the Son of God when he rose again. One man told me as we come on yesterday morning, he said, "I heard a man yesterday with a PhD of preaching and telling his congregation and those that heard that the virgin birth of Christ was nothing more than a fairy tale, and he wanted his congregation to forget that there ever was a man ever born." I like they said, "I come to God." What the power of God? That doctrine is the prepared of the grace of God and his lectures that Christ gave him, even though he is in prison, he doesn't feel with any soul that he is placed there for his conduct of how he had walked and acted. I want to say this morning that if a man goes to jail for getting drunk, he is being put in jail by his own conduct, and he'll suffer for it according to the laws of the land. But I think that Jesus taught us and his lesson that we should not even consider those things, but what he's teaching us, that we watch that our spiritual coming together in fellowship will not be destroyed by the cunning practice of men and the doctrines of men. And John, when he is placed there in prison, why, I know how poor old John felt. Some way, one time I was in Georgia preaching, and I turned to the ministry and preachers, "I feel this applies to us. Watch how we make our points to our congregation, how we explain ourselves. They may be some little child of God that under the sound of our voice will be deceived or misled by maybe our applying ourselves to them, and they'll take the wrong concept." I turned to these preachers, and I had in mind being in prison or in a famine, spiritually speaking, all these many times that God's ministers get shut up in a prison, don't you? That they can't reach their blessed Lord. Not only that, but I'll be the church of God too. I think the dictation of men sometimes I get them in prison that they're not able to reach their blessed Lord as they would. But thanks be to God, all please the blessed Lord as they would, but thanks be to God. I please, before I sit down, I can prove to you that God's got a key for every prison that men's ever made, and he's never asked the one of them to borrow his key, but he goes in at the time he wants and he brings them free. You take John, he's there in prison. I turn to my congregation and I said, "Preachers, I see that I know how John felt. I've been in prison lots of times, and you know, out on the ground, a sister told another, she said, 'Well, you know, I just don't understand how a man can preach like he does and been in the penitentiary.' You know, kidding, instead of applying, explaining my point, I just went off and left it. We preachers understood it, but she didn't. The little child of God, many times, just a little simple word, a little simple explanation means a lot to them. When Christ was preaching here in the world,
He didn't go to the psychologist that they might see him language, but he spoke just simple language that the little children even understood him. Well, children, let us all be just little children when we come together and let the minister preach just in a simple way that sees God killing more than all of the PhDs and the psychologists and the theologians might minister or they might manufacture and let it be seasoned with grace. And he takes John, he sent his disciples to him, and he said, art thou the Christ, or should he look to another? Now here, John, he was in this prison, but I think spiritually speaking today, we can apply and show that God's ministers are shut up in a prison, and a prison means something that you can't get out of yourself. You must be taken out, and many times, a little child of God, I think that's why we should always explain to God's children, what? That you be put out in prison. Then maybe that God will let you suffer a while, and the next time you will learn to walk. I certainly will. And you take up. John, he said, go and ask him if thou be the Christ, or should we look for another? And you remember John of Jesus, he told those disciples how to go back and tell John this, show John these things again. He doesn't say, yeah, go back and tell John, I'm he, and for him to not worry. But you know what he did? He said, you sure go show John again these things, that the blind receives his sight, that the dead sleep, and under the poor, the gospel is preached, and blessed is he that's not offended in me. I believe when they got back the poor John with his evidence in prison. I believe another thing. You remember John, if I'm sure, Paul, well, we did the first preacher coming preaching repentance and baptism. That I've got the short time after I baptized the blessed Lord, they put me in jail, and the great structure of the Church of God will now come to a man. They caught me the third day, just a few days after that, and put me in jail. But let me tell you this much. I believe he got out of that message that they brought back to him of his blessed Lord as the minister gets today. Young John was in prison, all right. But there's one thing that he sent John the evidence of. Even though you're in prison, John, and I'll take you out after a while, but there's one thing. The great work that you've been preaching the gospel, he's still been preached in the world. He climbed to the city of Christ, the dead slaves, and the gospel preached. John, she's still going on. You need to worry about that. And let me tell you this much. When the old John was brought out of prison, you remember on another occasion, I believe, when Herod had sex and killed John, and he put James away, and Peter and God put in jail. Little child's gone. I believe here begin to unfold some of the great things that our forefathers, the apostles, that they hadn't relied for the days that we're enjoying. Please, 120 some odd that left England, that was persecuted from nation to nation, and it comes to the last place that they had a friend in the world. And when they got on the little Mayflower and started to talk to the Atlantic Ocean, but they'd never seen people face. They saw somewhere out under the country that they could worship their God. As we're studying here today, and as they come across the Atlantic Ocean, the first thing they did when they arrived, you remember, in Massachusetts, they fell down on their knees, and thank God he delivered them. Bradford Williams would be the one, and they thank God that he delivered them to a land that they could worship God according to the dictation. You know, they had persecuted a while, all right, from the Church of England after they arrived here, but after a while, God delivered them from the persecution and the great plans we have today. The churches we have today, in the Senate constituted and brought by the blood of the feet of those that raised the cradles across this country of our shooting. Let's watch that Satan not destroy it among us, that is, in the secret communities of where we're at. I'll tell you this, what I believe now, shooting. I believe the Bible will support this, that you. The Jeremy Fellowship Church that enjoy this coming together. That after you've gone, I know that you want your little ones to come here and to enjoy. You can act a fool in such a way that God to shame to you and will spill you out of your mouth, out of his mouth. It doesn't mean that the church will not live on somewhere where they appreciate it, but God doesn't have to leave it with you for you to abuse. I can tell you that much. And he said, watch that you enter not into temptation, and that no man deceives you. Now you take Peter when he gets put in jail. I'm going to have to close. I'm just now getting started on this, but I'm going to have to close. You take the Apostle Peter. I believe that he's been forewarned these things. And you take Peter when he is put in jail, and he is waiting to be delivered to the expectation of the Jews. And the two gatekeepers that were guarding the gates, and two men that were put in there with him and chained to him. And he was there in jail. But you know, he was done dead down to go to sleep. I don't believe it in him a tranquilizer to put him to sleep either to you. I plead the grace of God that has forewarned him of these things that the God has called him to preach. I sound sleeping that the God called me is able at the proper time to deliver me from this place. And if I be not delivered, if I go and have my head taken, it'll be through a good cause that he's persecuting, and those men will change to him. And still the church being somewhere to a ball game are all having a good time. They met in John Mark's mother's home. I pray that God would send a guardian angel to be with the preacher. And you remember God's dead just that God, the guardian angel, appeared at the gate of that prison, and instead of telling those men, I want to pass the one to the Apostle Peter, I believe he had his keys to save. I turned on his locker that he didn't have to ask for the keys, and he didn't have to bag his way in. But you know what? At the proper time, that angel went in, and those gates just allowed him to go in. And he told Peter, arise, and let's get going and get on your shoes. He took him loose from those that were chained to him, and as they went out the gates and went out into the city, the iron gates that enclosed the prison, they swung open to their own accord. Oh, thank God, children, if that's what it takes to be a Primitive Baptist this morning, I want to still be one, don't you? God, that they would open the doors at their own accord, and never you take. As I remember that the Apostle Peter, as he went on down, where did he go? He went straight to the home of where the little church was assembled in prayer, that the guardian angel would visit him that night. And when he got there, when Peter hollered, you know, the little damsel that was there, entered open in the door. She knew his voice, and run said, Lord, Peter is here. A little church, God, they said, you've probably seen the spirit. And let me tell you this much, I tell you, God, our God turned you out of the prison. And he said, watch, that you enter not into temptation. Let us watch that this fellowship be not destroyed that we enjoy this morning, for we're just tabernacle children. I'll tabernacle here below all these mundane shores, and we walk along. I know that this appointment is on the way that we're great, but you remember Jesus said, I'll go with you in the sixth trouble, and I'll not forsake you in the seventh, but I'll go with you even on the end of the world. Hearing, let me tell you this much, I've seen the things of God's fire that have come after the end of the line, and as the preacher was preaching last night on an honorable discharge, Lord, by grace, and I am beginning to go over the last half of my ministry work. If I live to be an old man, I'm now passing the halfway mark. Bless me when I come to end, and I might receive an honorable discharge of my heavenly master. I believe any man can lay down in death, and Stephen was Paul did. You remember Paul said, of his Timothy's passage, he said, preach the word, be absent and season, and season, reprove, rebuke, with all long suffering and doctrine, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. And he told Titus, he said, and speak the things that become sound doctrine. Don't speak something to become the truth after the Bible, but you speak the things that are dressed up of the doctrine of my blessed Lord, and blend it in, and make what he said now. Please God, and warn this old preacher that the end of his ministry was approaching. And he said, I have followed his fight, I have kept the faith, I have finished my course, and now I'm ready to be offered in full service the crown of righteousness, which the right judge should give in that day. But not for me only, but all souls, that's all those that love him, the feeling. I told my daddy when he died, here's what he told us young preachers as we walked in. He died away with cancer. Bless his heart today. As I've seen the travels and as he carried me to the old church that I now try to serve, as he served as a deacon and in humble manner, and his garden, that is his wife counseling, I've been leading us to watch, telling us this be not destroyed among you. We always are going to have to go west a while and leave it in your hands. Here's what he said when he died. He said, I'm not all things. I got rough to do it. But he said, there's one thing that I feel that I can die with the thing that I have kept these things. A little time is gone. I believe the Apostle Paul when he said, I've fought a good fight. I've heard folks say, well, not everybody can say that they fought a good fight as Paul did. I believe every one of God's saints that has been engaged in this warfare, when he comes to the end of the way, when he comes to the end, will not look back and say, the fight that I made in the service of God has been a bad one. But if I have to do it again, I'll do it again. It's been a good and engaged in, not with carnal weapons, but with things that pertain to serving God's saints in the house of God. Until I feel there is the fact that we're engaging in this world is serving our blessed Lord and meekness and holiness in fellowship of the saints that we might enjoy the service of God and children. I believe the Apostle Paul when he said, I've fought a good fight, I have kept the faith, I have finished my course, that as he received his honor and his charge at the end of the line, that he was pleased, I felt good, and I believe there is the crown of righteousness which God gives everyone that obeys him and labor with him here in the ministry and comes with an honor of his charge that he crowned him with this sweet voice that was well done. Well done, my good and faithful soldier. You have been a good soldier. The Apostle Paul told these young preachers, he said, endure the afflictions of the gospel. And he said, therefore, be a good soldier. And he said, do the work of evangelist. All these things he told them to do. And Jesus told them, when he said, what I say unto you, I say unto all, I watch. A little child of God, this morning, I believe that this one thing that every one of them has within their soul, that feeling of love, that law of God within their soul, that nothing else on their gospel ministry will ever be able to preach or to touch. And he said, the elder Darty said yesterday, talking about legalism. So many times we get on legalism and we never look at the attitude that's been manifested among the saints of God, the fellowship that is motion in the second will never establish. And I'm going to tell you another thing, a motion in the second will never establish the confidence and love you have for a man either. It's certainly not. It may be at times that you like the children of Israel. You can look back towards Jerusalem. You can't enjoy it like you once did for the reason that someone has placed you in a position that you can't do it. But it don't keep you from having that sweet love and fellowship for those that's over across the line as much as the one that's on your side of the line. Little child of God this morning, I want to teach you, tell you, as I told, I press on towards the mark of the high calling, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I never in the Lord ever saw a greater coming together than maybe this morning of those that love the doctrine of grace, those that love special atonement, and those that love other things that Jesus set up here in the house. I believe I told you, brethren, not long ago in Texas, and in that little city of Oviedo, Texas, there's five different churches there of our faith. All of them had a little church, a piece there, and neither one of them would visit the other. And that's a bad example of a setting in the city. I can tell you that much. The businessmen say, you men will meet in our stores, and you're good customers of ours. All of you are good, honest people, and we can't understand why you won't go to the other church and sit down there in the house of God. And you know what else told me? He said, Brother Lamb, one night, now preachers, I'm not saying this to say the same might to offend you, but you remember this, many times, as I've said before, lots of times when you're a child of God, big foolishness that goes on in the house of God comes up among a bunch of preachers that won't behave themselves. It certainly does. And this old people told me, he said, Brother Lamb, one night, we caught all the preachers going off on a preaching trip. We all met together in a great meeting. We sung Amazing Grace, and we decided for all of us to abandon these five little churches and build one in this city that we could all come together and one common faith and unity. All of us leading the same thing, and the little Teddy thing did spike songs. I don't ever remember some more. And let me tell you, them elbows was blessed to preach up in that church. And if you'd ever known there's any discord had ever been among them, you couldn't tell it when you got there. Oh, what a beautiful church they had. And they all come together in worship. A little child of God. And the young folks begin to come back. Let me tell you, mother and fathers, many times the reason our children don't go to church with us is the way the old folks do when they get there. It certainly is. A little child of God, I love to teach. I tell you young people here this morning that I love you. I appreciate your attention and your interest that you take in the church of God. And may I always be considered with you and shake hands with you and let you know that I'm thankful that you're here. I know this morning when you see a young man or young woman, a young boy or young girl that loves to go to church and he loves to hear the preacher preach, it's something else in his heart besides what the devil puts there. I can tell you that much. If he loves the Lord, it's because God first loved him and made it known unto him by the working of his Spirit. I was in a church in Nashville, Tennessee, about 3 weeks ago, and in the service, a little fellow come around, a bunch of them shook my hand, and I noticed he squeezed my hand as he come by. We was all down that evening to stuff that the church had all gathered down at the park that they might all get to meet the preacher that was preaching in their church that they couldn't have him in their home, and they said they'd done it where they could all listen to him.